This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. Anyone who spends Christmas in Boston knows how quiet the city is. It's like a ghost town. But there is one part of the city that's open and humming. That's Chinatown. And also in Chinese restaurants all around the city. Of course, going out for Chinese food has become a huge non-Christmas tradition. Here with me in Studio 3 to talk about this is Lily Jan. Lily Jan is a chef instructor and an expert on Chinese food culture. Lily, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
We are so excited about this because I just started thinking about how many people I know that eat in the Chinese restaurants on Christmas Day.
Absolutely.
How big a deal is it?
You know, I think when I started thinking about this, I started doing a little more research and I started asking my friends, and everyone seems to have a Chinese food tradition around the Christmas time, whether or not they are avoiding Christmas or even if they do celebrate Christmas. I have one of my colleagues, he was telling me he has Chinese food with his family on Christmas Eve, and that's become their tradition, and they do celebrate Christmas. So I think it's a really big deal, and it's definitely something that's hit the mainstream when, you know, the Supreme Court justice is making jokes about it. And, you know, there was definitely quite a few episodes of Seinfeld dedicated to the idea. And it's a running joke when I was growing up in New York that, you know, on Christmas Day, all of the Jewish families that I knew would watch a movie and eat some Chinese on Christmas because they're the only things that were open.
Well, we can say that the large part of the tradition began with Jewish folks who don't celebrate Christmas, and you want to go out and have a nice meal and you want to have a nice place, a festive place. Chinese restaurants are open. Let me give the exact quote from Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan, who during her interview with the Senate, as she was being confirmed, was asked where was she on Christmas, and she answered, "You know, like all Jews, I was probably at a Chinese restaurant." Got a big laugh from those not so funny Senate folks. But that's just how ingrained that tradition is for a lot of folks who are Jewish, and they go to the Chinese restaurant. It's a pretty big deal, and I searched a lot of Jewish blogs and found many people referring to the custom and the tradition.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I read a few studies that actually kind of researched the culture and the tradition of doing this, because it has become an unintentional Christmas tradition for non-Christmassy people. And, you know, a tradition is really anything that you do kind of ritualistically throughout the year or, you know, annually. And it has become a tradition. And I think, you know, when I was reading and doing the research, it really seemed that in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, when a lot of Jewish immigrants were in New York around Christmas time, they didn't really have a lot of inexpensive places to go eat at Christmas time. And, you know, the places that they might have gone, like the Italian parts of town, were closed because they do celebrate Christmas. And the only things that were left were really Chinese food restaurants. And that's where they found themselves. It was inexpensive. And a lot of the ingredients overlapped from their own cuisine. There was a lot of garlic and onions and vegetables. And if you weren't necessarily kosher, if you were adjacent to kosher or kosher-ish, you could eat meat and avoid dairy because Chinese food doesn't have dairy in it very much. And there are ways to kind of saw some of the guilt of not being truly kosher. You know, and there was an article I saw that was great in a review that was written for the Lower East Side in the 1920s saying, "Down with chop suey, long live gefilte fish." So it's been a pervasive part of Jewish culture, especially in New York, since the 1920s.
I was speaking about those Jewish blogs that I found online. One of them is called Chosen Food, and they were discussing the tradition of going there. And she, the person who is the author of this blog, says eating Chinese food on Christmas was a recognized Jewish preference as early as 1935, when the New York Times reported that restaurant owner Ing Shi Chuck brought chow mein on Christmas Day to the Jewish Children's Home in Newark, New Jersey. So that's a long time.
It is a long time. And, you know, a lot of the research that I did seemed to suggest that it's two large groups, especially in the New York area, that didn't celebrate Christmas. And you know, I've rarely met a Chinese restaurateur who doesn't want to make a dollar. And, you know, doesn't celebrate Christmas. So why wouldn't they be open? And actually, in researching some of the restaurants that I would suggest for Christmas Day, I called a number of them and I said, you know, in Chinese, I said, "Are you going to be open on Christmas?" And every one of them said, "Of course." Like, with such disdain. "Of course. Why wouldn't we?" And one restaurant said, "We're always open." And I said, "Even Christmas?" They said, "We are always open." So it was really funny. And it is it is something that, you know, I love that it goes back so far, and I think that it really does speak to, you know, the holidays bringing everyone together regardless of reason, even if it's to avoid other things, you know?
I'm speaking with chef, instructor, and Chinese food expert Lily Jan, and we're talking about the non-Christmas Christmas tradition of eating Chinese food on Christmas Day and its expansion beyond just Jewish folks or people who don't celebrate Christmas. Why don't you join us at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. Call us if you're going to spend Christmas or Christmas Eve eating Chinese food. Is this a tradition for you? 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. You can send us a tweet at Boss Public Radio or write to our Facebook page. So you mentioned early on that you had talked to somebody whose family now has Christmas Eve at a Chinese restaurant.
Correct.
My family does that. Now, I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, which many people have heard me say. Mm-hmm. So this is a serious Bible Belt, as you can imagine. And several years ago, I would say almost 10, when my father was alive, we started the tradition of eating at a lovely Chinese restaurant on Christmas Eve before we went to church. So it didn't have anything to do with not celebrating Christmas, which we did. The Chinese restaurant we chose was beautifully decorated. The food is delicious. All those fresh vegetables. And there's a whole bunch of people in there celebrating or in a celebratory mood mm-hmm. anyway. So it was perfect. And now, even though I'm not in Memphis for the holiday, my sister and my niece and nephew do it and with their friends. So it goes on and on.
It really, yeah. And I think part of what it makes it so popular, regardless of whatever reason, is Chinese people don't typically celebrate Christmas. I think, you know, when I go home for the holidays, I grew up in Hong Kong for a while. When I go home, it's a very commercial-based Christmas. It's definitely less Jesus-y. So when you go to a Chinese restaurant, I think around the holidays, there's maybe less associated guilt about making people work around those holidays when you certainly don't want to be working as well. I think that might be part of it. But
you know, you raise an interesting point, Lily, because there's a big uproar. I could say probably I'm one of those about people making people work in retail stores on holidays. You know, we just saw that with Thanksgiving. We're breaking the rules around Black Friday. Some uproar now that McDonald's has said it's going to be open on Christmas Day. But nobody's had that feeling about going to a Chinese restaurant and people working on Christmas Day. We're just expecting they're going to be open.
Right. It's true. You know, and I think it's just the assumption is, oh, well, but the Chinese food is always open. And nobody seems to have that problem with movie theaters, which I think is funny because movie theaters is a big one, too.
That's right. That's right. Well, the tradition actually is for many the Chinese restaurant and then the movie. Mm-hmm. It's a combination. So do you know if because it's gotten broader, as I said, even with my family. So I was reading a piece from Seattle, and when that noted that the Chinese restaurants in Seattle were just booming on Christmas Day, but not necessarily just because of the Jewish folks who don't celebrate Christmas. They articulated that business people, international visitors, college students not traveling home, and a lot of single people who just wanted to have a lively atmosphere, festive. So that's a wide constituency.
I mean, I think any time that there's a day, a nationally recognized day of not working, everybody wants to be out and celebrating. And because so many things are closed, the Chinese food restaurant has become a respite for all of these wayward travelers and otherwise familyless or homeless people, you know, for the holidays. And I think it's true. And Chinese restaurants are places where you can be loud. Because, you know, my people certainly are. And you can be fun and funny and be loud and enjoy yourself. And it's okay. So it's almost encouraged, really.
And you're already getting a little present at the end of the meal. With the so do you have any sense of what foods might be more popular on Christmas Day? Or is there, it doesn't matter, people are just eating their regular thing? Or what do you think?
I think most people try to eat a little bit more festively. Maybe they try the slightly more adventurous dish. But it is also, you know, the holiday season. So I think people do try to lean more on their favorites. So maybe if they're always on a diet, they might try that Kung Pao chicken this time or the sesame chicken or the orange chicken. You know, and it's definitely, I don't know that many people that when they say, oh, I go for Chinese on the Christmas holiday, they're getting real Chinese food. I think they're getting Chinese-esque food.
Let's talk about that. What's the difference, Lily Chan? Yeah.
I think orange chicken, not so traditional.
Okay.
Things fried and battered in a sweet sauce, not so traditional. Chunks of pineapple, maybe not so traditional. You know, I think a lot of Chinese food is very much based in a diverse meal. And there's lots of regions in China. And that's not always well represented on your average P.F. Chang's or Fortune Express. So I think the difference is really about some of the foods in Chinese restaurants these days have been tailored more towards the American palate. So there's a little bit more sweet, there's a little more dipping, there's a little bit more sauciness. I mean, Italian food has seen the same transition in America. A lot of Italian grandmas would say that's too much sauce, but, you know, Americans love saucy pasta. So I think that's the shift. And I don't see any problem with it. In full admission, I sometimes want, you know, Panda Express.
We are going to take some calls now. How about Amelia? Go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio 89.7.
Hi. So I am 27, and I have been for 27 years on Christmas Eve going to Chinese food and a movie with my family. We're Jewish. And it's actually become this huge, like, cultural scene in the Chinese restaurant. So, like, I grew up in Newton, which has a large Jewish community, and it becomes, like, a social thing. There are people from our congregation that are all there, and sometimes we actually do, like, a percentage of the proceeds go to fund our religious school scholarships.
Oh, wow.
So it's become, you know, obviously it's spreading, but, like, it's so fundamental to, like, the American Jewish Christmas experience.
So when you say it's a big deal, what do you say, like 30, 40 people from your congregation?
Yeah, I mean, the restaurants are slammed. And, you know, 40 people from my congregation and then people I know from, you know, families I knew from high school. It's definitely a scene.
Okay, so I just asked Lily Jan if there were popular dishes or if people were more adventurous on Christmas Day. are you, or do you go back to the favorites?
I think it varies, but we always have to have scallion pancakes.
It's me too.
I know, it's so good. Yeah. It's definitely one of those staples. And the little piece of Jew inside me tries to avoid pork on that day.
Okay. All right. Well, Amelia, we'll be thinking about you on Christmas Day as you're enjoying your lovely Chinese food meal.
Thanks. Have a good holiday.
All right. Thank you. One of the things that we found out, there is a project here at WGBH called Planet Takeout by Val Wong. And she, the thesis of her project was looking at how people got connected to their Chinese restaurant. Right. They felt very connected, like, this is mine, and I have relationships with people there, and so I go back and back and back. Don't want to wander around and be too adventurous. I have to say I'm a little bit of the same way. I think I have a behind imprint at Chang Show in Cambridge. So I understand the connectivity. And I wonder if that's what's happening on this holiday as well, as this kind of part of the tradition is returning to a place of comfort, or do people try a new place?
I think a lot of people do go back to a place of comfort, you know, and I certainly have my go-to Chinese place, and I love going there and I love visiting them. And I know a lot of people that visit their same place often and always get takeout, and they always call and they always know the person. And I've had friends who call on a Monday and they're like, I never order on a Monday. I wonder if the person I speak to is there who will recognize me. So I think it is, you know, it's a longstanding tradition. And I think, you know, around the holidays, regardless of what your faith is or is not or whatever, it's nice to be around people who know you. And part of the congregation that she was mentioning, and just being around family and somewhere where, you know, they know you. And it's warm and fuzzy.
We're at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970, where Lily Jan, who is a chef instructor and an expert on Chinese food culture, and I are talking about our warm and fuzzy experiences eating Chinese food, and talking with you about your warm and fuzzy experiences eating Chinese food at Christmas time. And we want to hear from you, 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. Are you going with a large group, as Amelia just said she does every Christmas? Are you one of those singles just looking for a place to find some festivity and some community? And I'm really interested if you eat the same thing or you become just a little bit more adventurous on the Christmas Day, for the Christmas Day meal. So, Lily, you have some restaurants that you specifically called and would recommend for folks if they want to be adventurous or if they've not thought about doing it before and this is the first time they're going to do it.
Right. So some of the places in Chinatown, I think if you want to be in a hub of busyness, Chinatown's a great place since there's so many places that are open. Some of the places that I like to frequent, Dumpling Cafe has great dumplings. And if you, like Amelia, are trying to be a little bit you know, stay safer on the Jewish side and the kosher side, you can get beef dumplings, and there are chicken dumplings there, so you can avoid the pork. But I think that they have some really great dumplings. Gourmet Dumpling House has a really great variety of bao, the little fluffy white buns, noodles that I think are really good.
Can I stop you right there? Because there seems to be a dumpling phenomenon craze happening now.
Yes.
That's not just my imagination.
No, and it's surprising to me because for me, I'm like, well, I've eaten them my whole life. Why are you guys just excited about them now? But yeah, there's definitely a dumpling craze. And I've been asked a lot, you know, for recipes and things. I think people like portable meals and pocket-sized foods, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And every culture has a dumpling. You know, I mean, if you think even Jewish cuisine, they have the, I think it's called a kreplach, or I might be saying it wrong, but it's a little meat-filled starch pack. And, you know, there's pierogies, samosas. You know, the dumpling is a long, far-reaching thing.
Patty is Jamaican. Yeah.
Right.
I was just thinking. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so there's lots of, you know, it's a familiar thing. And you can fill them with any endless number of things, kosher or otherwise. So, you know, those are good options. And those are two dumpling places that are pretty renowned in, in Boston, I think, for their dumplings. So those are good options. If you are of the wonton noodle variety or the roast hanging meat in the window variety, I think Hong Kong Eatery is really great. One time I walked in and there was a whole roast suckling pig on the table.
Wow.
Not so kosher, but delicious nonetheless.
Yeah.
And then if you are maybe trying the adventurous route, like you mentioned earlier, Penang, which is a Malaysian restaurant, a lot of Malaysian cuisine is rooted in Chinese from way back when the tradesmen and things. So it has Chinese influences, but it has a very different flavor all of its own. There's a lot more coconut and there's a lot more curry flavor. So it's a good mix, and those are all open in Chinatown. And then if you don't feel like venturing in and fighting for parking, in Alston, there's Jojo Taipei, which is where I definitely have a butt imprint that I've gone to a lot, and that's very popular. Shanghai Gate is also in Alston.
Okay. All right. Oh, these and all of these restaurants that Lily Jan has named are on our website. We are talking with Lily Jan, who is a chef, instructor, and an expert on Chinese food culture, about the non-Christmas tradition of eating Chinese food on Christmas Day. Victoria from Gloucester, go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio, 89.7.
Good afternoon. I came from a Polish family. And we were always big on cooking and making all kinds of horseradish and cabbage. And a lot of Jewish recipes, too, we cooked as well. As my mother got older, she became invalid. She was in a wheelchair. She could no longer cook and prepare meals. And she didn't want us to cook either. So for Christmas and other holidays, Thanksgiving, whatever, she called the Chinese restaurant and they delivered.
All right. And did you enjoy it?
Very much. Mm-hmm. Very much. I still eat Chinese food. I love it.
I know. Me too. What's your favorite?
I love the lo mains with shrimp.
Okay. Very good. Thank you so much for the call, Victoria.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Now, with this being a more of a go-to place on Christmas Day, is there any statistical evidence about how big a deal this is financially for Chinese restaurants? Because I'm thinking that we hear from the retailers who make it very clear that the holiday season is a big chunk of their year-round revenue. I don't know if Christmas Day, Christmas Eve is a big part of Chinese restaurants' revenue as well.
I mean, to say something that maybe some other Chinese people might not agree with, but I think that it's definitely very good business. I don't think that you're often going to find a Chinese person who's very transparent about the money that they make in their restaurants because of the nature of the beast. But, you know, I think it is a big day. You know, by sure virtue of practicality, people have to go for Chinese food because there isn't that much open. McDonald's isn't even open, for goodness sake.
So, well, they're trying to be this year.
Right.
Yes.
So I'm sure it's big business, you know. And the number of people in America that don't really celebrate Christmas in that kind of Norman Rockwell sense is growing.
That's right.
There's a lot of people who live, urbanites that live in the city, that maybe don't want to cook a huge meal and don't want to have their extended family over into their shoebox apartment, you know? So they go out. And I think that it is a huge day of business. And that's probably one of the motivating factors to keep stay open and be open. And I think that's probably why a lot of the staff who maybe staff these restaurants are happy to stay open, because it's, you know, it's good money, it's good tips. People generally are in a better mood, so your customers are pretty friendly to you to that day.
Well, that is one thing that I read, that apparently the tips are much bigger on Christmas Day.
I don't doubt it. Yeah.
So that's good. Patrick from Boston, go ahead, please.
Hello, yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm the Associate Rector for Worship at Trinity Church in Copley Square, and I've been listening to your show, and we have a Chinese food tradition of our own on Christmas Eve. It's what we serve to all of our many volunteers who come to support our worship on Christmas Eve.
Wow, yeah.
Our youth choristers, our ushers, you know, we have probably about 60 or 70 people who make worship happen on Christmas Eve, including the clergy at Trinity Church, and this has been a tradition now for some years. Someone is always doing the P.F. Chang's run at about 8 o'clock or 8:30 between our two major services.
So you have a regular place that you go. Do you order the same things, or are you a little bit more adventurous?
We have a lot of, it's a big group, so you have to accommodate, vegetarian, non-vegetarian, different food tastes, spicy. There are young kids, there are older folks, so we try to please all comers.
Well, that's, thank you so much for the call. You see, it's broadening this whole tradition and experience. Thank you very much.
Episcopal Church.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Patrick, for the call. Our number is 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. Call us if you have the non-Christmas tradition of Chinese food on Christmas Day, or as Patrick just mentioned, on Christmas Eve. My family certainly ate Christmas Eve dinner at a Chinese restaurant and continues to do so. So it's a big part of our lives now, and it's becoming bigger and bigger among many communities, not just people who don't celebrate Christmas, but for people who like Chinese food and want a little bit more festive atmosphere and don't want to cook, by the way. And, you know, it's fresh, you know, so you get the fresh vegetables. That's really important, I think, Lily.
And I think Patrick brought up a good point. Not mm-hmm. only is it, you know, it, you can find something for everyone. So it becomes a really good place to bring a large group or bring your family with your aunt who's sensitive to dairy and your uncle who has horrible heartburn mm-hmm. or whatever. You can find something for everyone, you know, if you have a teenager who's eschewing meat because they just saw a video, you know. So you can find something to appeal to everyone regardless of age and dietary preference. And a lot of Chinese restaurants are really accommodating in that way. But I think the other thing is also it is a lot of Chinese places do serve meal family style.
Yes,
so there
yes.
is that communal, convivial bonding. Atmosphere,
yeah.
absolutely,
yeah.
which a lot of maybe other places don't necessarily have. It's very individualized meals. So, you know, there's a lot of aspects to sharing and holiday spirit there as well.
So since we know about you and JoJo Taipei and Alston, if you were picking an interesting meal for the Christmas holiday meal, what would you suggest that is not so sauced up and sweetened up as we Americans tend to do?
On the line of dumplings, mm-hmm. Shanghainese soup dumplings are really, really popular in Asia for sure. And I know that they were very popular in New York in the late 90s, but I think, you know, there's a lot of people who haven't tried them and they're really great. They're mm. they're meat, they're little dumplings that are stuffed with broth and filling and they're steamed and you bite into them extremely carefully because they squirt. Mm. And, you know, you have to release the steam, but you eat them screaming hot and they're better that way. And so you look a fool while you're eating them, but they're so great.
Mm.
And that's a great thing to try. A lot of the places that I listed have those on the menu and they are all different. They're all made by hand because they have to be. So those are great. You know, if you're spicy and adventurous, there's, you know, like a spicy fish fillet dish. Mm. Sichuan style spicy fish fillets are really great. They're normally in a hell broth of chilies and Sichuan peppercorns. And it's different, but it's very Chinese. And then, you know, if you want to try something maybe a little bit more adventurous, try something with a different ingredient on it. There's one dish that I love, which is beef stir fried with long peppers. And they have this wonderful smoky peppery, bell peppery flavor, but it's more, slightly more acrid in a really pleasant sense. And so that's a really great one. And, and it's different. It's not your always beef with broccoli. It's a little different and it has some really great punch to it. And it's not spicy.
Oh, sounds good. Jing from Boston, go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio 89.7.
Oh, hi. We organized the Nobel Lilas Pauling Biotech Christmas dim sum symposium for students and postdocs and scientists from around the world who cannot go home.
Wow.
And then no charge, and dim sum no charge too. And this is a dim sum, in other words, better than anything. It's a really tiny, tiny dumpling, and it's very, very delicious, and it's very, very safe because it's dim. And people love dim sum, and then they can not only just stay eating dim sum, it's more like we're feeding their soul in the way they are not lonely on Christmas Day, but at the same time eating dim sum, and then even better, they can listen to the biotech expert talking how to get a job and how to be useful for society and how to, you can say, mingle to network with all the biotech big pharma for the future collaboration and job opportunity. And not only that, these student postdocs have opportunity to be a speaker because everyone is a speaker, everyone is a volunteer. So in this case, their name can be on the Nobel Polling website.
Wow, so this is Lily, you want to speak to this? This is really quite the communal
it's
experience.
Mixing the art with science.
Absolutely. And you know,
mixing the art with science.
Thank you so much for the call, Jing.
I think it's true, you know, and there's a certain aspect to dim sum, which I forgot to mention, but Hey La Moon in Chinatown offers dim sum often that I think is great. And you know, dim sum literally translated means to touch the heart. So she's not wrong. You know, and dim sum, again, like the communal things, they're baskets full of several dumplings, so you can share them, and they have that communal atmosphere. And dim sum is brunch, you know, and I read an article about how the Jewish community in New York, for example, was starting to take over dim sum as their Sunday brunch. So, you know, it's definitely a part of that. And it expands into different areas of Chinese food. So I think she's not wrong. It's a great way to explore Chinese food. And that's another option. If you've always had the chow mein and the lo mein on the Christmas holiday, maybe go to a dim sum place and try the variety of steamed dumplings and baskets that are available to you.
Well, I cheat because I go with my friend Janet Wu, and you've never had dim sum unless you've been with her. It's pretty good experience. You waddle out of there, I might add. Well, Lily Chan, once again, everything you say is so tasty and delicious, and we're glad to have you. We've been talking about the non-Christmas tradition, eating Chinese food with Lily Chan. Lily Chan is a chef instructor and an expert on Chinese food culture. Thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me.